That's right. Workaholics. You gotta be fresh. Yeah.
Welcome, guys. Thanks for checking in.
Welcome back to Garage Sports San Diego.
Yeah, Fernando's here, checking in for a number two podcast for Garage Sports here, San Diego.
And Paul over here.
We enjoyed our first one. We thought it was pretty good. We're going to try to improve here for this one. And, you know, just saying thanks for you guys who listen here.
Yeah, the first one actually went pretty well, I thought, dude.
I did too.
I was critical on myself, you know.
Yeah, same here. We always criticize ourselves more than anything else. I noticed I throw in a lot of ums in there, but I'm going to try to work on that.
Dude, the reason why for the intro, Workaholics too. Shout out to Blake, Adam, and Carl the drug dealer from Workaholics.
Yeah.
I actually got to meet them on the midway, and the first guy I noticed was Carl. He's about 6'4", 6'5", tall dude. Straight out looks like a skater. He had the tweaky eye with his glasses, and I just pointed and said, Workaholics? He's like, what's up? I was like,
yeah.
And he did smell like dank.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was cool though, man. They were really, really nice, man. We were talking a little bit and actually tipped. And I didn't expect a tip at all. I was like, whatever.
That's cool.
Really cool, man.
I guess there were a bunch of celebrity parties because Comic-Con was here in San Diego. It's one of our biggest events. And so it's pretty cool having a lot of business here in San Diego.
Yeah, you see a bunch of characters around San Diego. It's probably the best time to be downtown is during that weekend.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you don't mind being in the crowd and being around, I want to say geeks and some dorks and nerds dressed up, but it's cool. I mean, they're for the most part, everyone there is nice. And you know, it's not too much trouble that happens.
I almost ran over a couple of zombies on my way to work.
Oh yeah, the zombies. I heard zombies were probably the most obnoxious ones out there.
Yeah, that was the in thing this year from The Walking Dead.
And it's funny because right before all the events started, this I think 40-year-old woman was trying to cross the street to the convention center to get to the Twilight pre-screen for the part two, and she got hit by a car and she was gone. She's dead. I mean sounds kind of insensitive, but
Comic-Con strikes again.
Yeah.
that sucks, dude. Yeah, it's what things people will do for these tickets. In fact, I still haven't been there. Hopefully next year I can get a chance.
I haven't either. It sells out really, really fast. You have to just be on the computer as soon as they announce they're going to sell tickets. You have to be one of the first ones that are ready to click and buy because it sells out. And, I mean, I guess it's almost now required. You have to show up in a costume. But, yeah.
Yeah, so let's go over to some Padres sports talk over here this past weekend. We actually won a series in L.A.
it had gotten pretty silly. 10 games in a row losses at Dodger Stadium. And it was just getting really, really ridiculous. I mean, even if you suck, you should be able to win at least one game once in a while. So glad they finally won a game. And it was pretty cool the way it happened. The Saturday night when they won that game, it was our shortstop, Everett Cabrera, who just took it upon himself to say, okay, there's no way we're losing. Two outs, you know, two strikes. There's a man on second and third. And Cabrera just found a way to steal home. Throwing error, you know, Will Venable was on second, came in and scored. So it was a pretty exciting ending to that game.
It's funny, too, because Cabrera actually called that he was going to steal home that game. Yeah. And he told the Dodgers that, but no one really believed him that he's going to do it because, you know, he's just blowing off hot air.
Yeah, I did read that there was a story in the paper today that he told the third baseman, Hairston, like right before he did it too, and Hairston, like you said, just blew it off. I was like, yeah, whatever. Let's go ahead, try it. You know, be my guest. And sure enough, it happened.
And on trade rumors, a little something on Carlos Quinton, I see.
Yeah, you know, one of the main sources to if you want to check on trade rumors is obviously that website MLBTradeRumors.com, and you can pretty much, you know, sort it. If you just want to look at your own personal team, they have a section where you can just click on your personal team. And I ran through the Padre rumors, and Carlos Quinton, he was getting a lot of interest from the Indians. And it just seems like the Padres are asking way too much for Quinton. So Indians, they tried, but it doesn't seem like that deal's going to go down.
The Indians, are they in contention right now, even for a playoff spot?
I'm not actually really sure. I imagine if they're trying to trade for Quinton, that they at least have a chance. I know in the American League, I think the Yankees are in first.
Yeah, the Yankees.
And then the Rangers might be in first on the West.
And the Washington Nationals on the NL East. That's the biggest surprise, in my opinion. And
Nationals.
Wow. Bryce Harper, the phenom.
Yeah, he's been doing pretty good.
Dude, that guy.
He's been winning over some guys that are still kind of suspect on his skills, I guess. Just the fact that he's still 19, right? He's still a teenager.
Dude, he's still 19. They're saying at the end of this career he's going to go in the Hall of Fame. I'm like, dude, he's 19.
Yeah.
This guy, you got to wait a couple seasons first.
He still has to stay healthy, be consistent, and, you know, improve. And, you know, second year teams kind of figure out in terms of, like, how to pitch to you. So he still has to prove that he's going to be able to adjust and keep hitting.
Well, actually, right now, the Cleveland Indians are actually 3 games back in the AL Central, trailing only the Chicago White Sox Tigers.
That's cool. White Sox, they have Jake Peavy, our old Padre.
He's coming around.
Pitcher. Yeah.
He's finally coming around.
Finally had a healthy season, and he's pitching great for them. Actually, I'm happy to see that. I like Jake Peavy. He considers himself like a Padre still, too. Like he's always said in interviews that he wouldn't mind finishing his career as a Padre, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was dominant. And we got Texas Rangers and the first place of the AL West, way ahead of the LA Angels.
Angels, man. They
That was a big letdown when they got Pujols and everything was bursting up that they were going to dominate that league.
Yeah.
And, well, Texas, to me right now, is the youngest, like, strongest team in the AL, whereas the Yankees are a little bit older.
But the Yankees, man, they're older, but for some reason they have, I don't know if it's swagger or they have
some mentality and swagger.
Mentality that they just know, they just feel like they have to win every game. And, I mean, I guess for Yankee fans, man, that's great. There's a lot of Yankee haters out there, but there's a reason that Yankees, they win a lot.
They do win. It's funny, though, because you can pick up a player, they'll pick up anybody, and once you wear that uniform, you're part of, like, the tradition.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely know how to do it out there in Yankee.
And the closest team behind them is the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow.
But wow, they're cool. Like 8.5 games back.
Yeah, because I think the Orioles were trying to get Chase Headley, our star third baseman. But, you know, Orioles, they have competition. There's a bunch of teams out there that are trying to get Headley from the Padres. So, you know, if the Padres are asking high for anyone, I'm glad it's Headley because it looks like they might be able to get what they're asking for because Headley, man, he's
having a good season.
You know, his numbers don't pop out that much, but you kind of have to take into account Petco Park. If he were to be taken out of Petco Park, he'd be putting up some monster numbers, and even at Petco,
his defense is pretty good, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing. Defense is great. He's an on base kind of guy. And he's affordable. I think he's like at $3.5 million, and he's still under team control for at least through 2014. So if a team trades for him, they still have him next year. So that adds value to him. So yeah.
Hopefully we can keep him around just for a couple more years and see if we can get a deal worked out.
Yeah. You know, at first, it's better to keep him because at some point, the Padres, they have to start keeping some of their good players. They can't just trade away everyone all the time. You can't just be rebuilding every year. You have to, at some point, say, okay, this is our team that we're going to use to win. So, you know, hopefully, instead of trading him, they keep him. If they do trade him, I mean, they better get some kind of overwhelming offer.
Well, the Padres right now are actually in fourth place. They're not in last place in the NL West, which is a good thing. 13 games back, but of course the San Francisco Giants right now are in the lead over the Dodgers by a game and a half. And on the NL Central, you actually got the Cincinnati Reds in first, but they just lost their star player, Joey Votto, for about a month, 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, Votto.
That's a big blow right there.
It is a big blow. Cincinnati, though, they have some depth in their lineup. Votto is a big piece of it, and you know what, they used to have Yonder Alonso, but he's now with the Padres anymore. So you know, it'd be interesting to see if the Reds try to trade for someone or they just put a fill in until he gets back.
And Pittsburgh is right behind him by less than a game.
Yeah,
They're having a hell of a year right now.
Yeah, their center fielder is having MVP numbers. Pittsburgh, they seem to be legit. I mean, last year they were in the same position, and then they just choked at the end of the year last year. So this year they're looking at keeping it going, and hopefully they get in the playoffs.
What I was really surprised about, like, this so far at the All-Star break in general, was the fact that the Nationals were in first place. And then I started to think back, like, besides the Atlanta Braves, the New York Mets, and the Marlins and Philly, obviously each one of those teams has pretty much won the division. And, you know, the Montreal Expos.
Yeah.
That's what they were known before.
Yeah.
Washington now, they never won a league title, you know. So it's actually kind of cool to see Washington in first place. It's switching up that normal tradition that they're always the bottom feeders, and they're at now in first place. And they got pretty much one of the youngest teams in the baseball right now, headed by Bryce Harper. And you got Steven Strasburg.
Strasburg.
Who's having a really good year. And they're talking about they didn't want to push his innings too far because they want to hold him until the playoffs. But I guess what they want to do, they want to keep him in the game because he's keeping, like, the ticket sales. And he's pretty much like an attraction for ESPN. And
he also has a bunch of hype on him. Yeah,
he does. And he's young. He's got a lot of years left ahead of him. He keeps healthy.
Yeah. You know, the Nationals, they did it right, man. They were losing a bunch of seasons, but they were last place, worst team in the majors. But when it came to draft time, they never cheaped out on their fans. They always paid top dollar for the best talent. And, you know, now they're reaping the rewards. Most of their number one picks now are in the majors or close to being in the majors, and they're reaping the benefits in first place right now.
Shit, one more first-round draft pick, and they'll almost be like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a little bit, you were checking out the Chargers.com and we found that there's a little Hall of Fame ballot going on by the fans.
Oh, yeah. The Chargers announced that they're going to try for the first time to let the fans vote in the next Chargers Hall of Famer. They're giving us a chance to choose between the punter, Darren Bennett, Natron Means from the great Super Bowl season of 94, and Anthony Miller. So it's pretty cool. You know, the Chargers are letting the fans get into this and voting the next guy.
Well, let's get down to that talk real quick. I definitely would have Natron at the bottom because he did have that one great year. We went to the Super Bowl in 1994, but he didn't have that many good years. It was just like 1 year, maybe two, and then he got traded to Carolina or was it Jacksonville.
Well, I don't know if he was traded or if there was just some kind of like contract dispute and he just kind of bolted for
it. He won all the money for one good year.
Yeah.
I mean, he deserved a good amount, but not too much.
Yeah.
But he's definitely at the bottom.
Yeah, we're in agreement with that because it was really just one great year with the Chargers, even though it's like one special year because it's the only Super Bowl appearance by the Chargers. You know, Natron Means is more of a sentimental pick for the Chargers Hall of Fame than like accomplishment wise kind of deal.
And this excuse me. This is where we're discussing the Anthony Miller or Darren Bennett. One established a tradition and that's used in the NFL these days, and one had a great year with the Chargers for about 6 years.
Yeah.
So it's pretty rough right there.
In my opinion, it has to be Darren Bennett. Only because he's the one that brought in the end over end kick, the Aussie rules kind of kick. That now every punter is required to learn.
And that's true.
And Bennett has a lot of accomplishments. We're looking up that he's on the 90s all-time team.
Two-time Pro Bowler. And he's also a two-time All-Pro selection as well.
Yeah.
So this guy has awards behind him.
Yeah.
And he brought over the Aussie end-over-end kick. That's now used by Cyphers and many other people in the NFL. It's mandatory.
Yeah.
But then you look at Anthony Miller, like, remember, Darren Bennett is a punter still. He's not, like, a skilled player. So you can almost say he's, like, a closer for, you know, MLB.
Yeah,
well, Anthony Miller had six great years with the Chargers. He was drafted first overall in 1988. Wow.
Out of Tennessee.
And he actually came on the first year, and he did really good with the Chargers. But it wasn't until the early 90s that he actually earned Pro Bowl honors and started garnering national attention around the NFL. And eventually he was let go and he went to the Denver Broncos. Yeah, our rivals. God. And retired his career with the Cowboys. But he's a Pro Bowler for 5 years, and four of them coming from the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
So I would definitely, it's a tough one, but if we really had to say who changed football, that's what it comes down to, who made an impact on the game itself, I would have to say my vote goes to Darren Bennett.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Anthony Miller, he's definitely like a skilled position, wide receiver. They have more value. But, you know, the other thing, the other way I look at it is if you were trying to vote for the NFL Hall of Fame, Darren Bennett, even at the punter position, probably have more of a chance than Anthony Miller for just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I was saying earlier when we were talking about this, Anthony Miller, the thing I remember most is on Tecmo Super Bowl, you know, that one play where you get the quarterback and you just go all the way back to your end zone and let the receiver just go all the way down. It was just my favorite play. Just throw a bomb to Anthony Miller. Obviously, I would always play with the Chargers, and you know Miller would for most of the time would catch the ball, and that was just a great play on Tecmo Super Bowl.
It's just a 120-yard pass, right?
Yeah,
Stan Humphries to freaking Anthony Miller.
Yeah,
Stan Humphries, that guy, poor guy. All right, so next up, we got a little upcoming UFC bout, UFC 149 this Saturday, and we got the main event, which is my favorite buddy, Uriah Faber, the California Kid, yeah, versus Renan Barrio?
Barrao is a Brazilian dude. Sounds like eyebrow, but it's Barrao.
This guy's got some big eyes. He's pretty funny looking. But, dude, this guy's record is no joke at all. What is he? He's coming on to this fight, the 31 straight fights he hasn't lost.
Yeah, right? It's, yeah, 31 fights where he hasn't lost. There was one of those is a no contest, so it's 30 wins in a row. And he trains with Aldo. He's a beast, man. He's young. He's 25, and it's gonna be really, really tough for Faber. This match is for the chance to fight against the champion Dominic Cruz.
Who's injured right now?
Who is injured right now? Because I think the original fight was Faber versus Cruz, so Cruz got injured, and so the fill-in is actually, in my opinion, he's probably better than Faber and Cruz. So the fill-in, I mean, this guy's a beast, man. Faber's gonna have to have one of his best fights to win this. Because even if I think I was looking up the Vegas odds, and Barrao is actually like a good favorite for this.
Well, he is young. He's definitely got the speed over Faber. Faber slowly has his speed is definitely diminishing. But I noticed about his fights, he's kind of injury prone. He's a little injury prone. He's getting a little slower, by the way.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Faber, the one thing about him, though, he doesn't give up. And that dude's always pretty much like he goes all out. Even when he broke his wrist. And he was still swinging, like the dude just didn't care.
Yeah, that guy loves fighting. Fighting is what he does. He loves to do it. Faber, he's at the age where fighters start to kind of get that wear and tear, and there might be that one half second slower, and you know that makes a difference,
especially in this weight class. This is the fast weight class. This isn't heavyweight. This isn't a light heavyweight.
Yeah.
And he's definitely got to have that youth factor, because right now, if he doesn't win this fight, this is probably the last chance he's going to get, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, he is very popular, and so sometimes popularity
will get
that'll be enough to get you at least a few more chances, at least one more chance. But yeah, he's going to, if he does lose, he's going to have to at least show that it was competitive and it was close, and he cannot get just overwhelmed and just completely dominated.
I'm just going off past history when I was saying that. I love Uriah Faber. Dude's really, really, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
It's just that he lost to Brown twice. He got annihilated by Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
And again, so he figured that I can't win this weight class, so he moved down.
Yeah.
And, you know, now he hasn't fought Dominic Cruz yet, so I was kind of intrigued to see the fight, and now he's fighting the Renan Barrio, and this is for the interim title instead, which yeah. I think you're right. This is actually a better fight. This dude's on a 31 winning streak or non-loss streak, and I'm kind of interested to see how this guy fights. I haven't seen him yet. Yeah. I heard a lot about him.
This might be his coming out fight. I mean, he still has to prove that he's that he, you know, all those fights were not just against, you know, the low key fighters, that they're legit wins. He still has to prove it. But if he's training with Aldo, you know, Aldo, you know, he dominated Faber, so Aldo probably gave him some pointers. I think Aldo used a lot of leg kicks, and it really, really wore down Faber. And so, you know, my guess, you know, leg kicks are probably going to be the strategy for this guy.
And that and takedowns on Faber, I noticed. He's not very strong. He'll get out of it, but he tends to wear down very easily.
Yeah.
So if he can, actually, I don't think this fight's going to go to the ground. I'm calling a knockout in this fight.
Calling a knockout?
A TKO. Wow. I'm going for a TKO in this fight.
Yeah.
You know, as a personal fan favorite, I'd want to go for Faber. But if I had to look at the technicality of it,
yeah,
what's happening to up-and-comer, usually nowadays the up-and-comer in the lighter weight classes tends to be the new guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call for the title third round. That's about the middle when both fighters will tend to get tired. And that's I'm calling third round Renan Barrio for a TKO over Faber.
Oh, wow.
I'm definitely going with it. I always like these little bets on the side.
I still like Faber's grit and his ability to just like go on.
I want him to win, though.
I see Faber at least finishing the fight. If he does lose, I think it'd be by decision against Bauer.
Bauer's never the card at all. I hate the card.
This Brazilian dude, he's never been knocked out. I think Faber's never been submitted. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think Faber's strengths seem to be the same strengths that this Barral guy has, and he's younger. So, yeah, I can see why you would think it's going to be a knockout, because this guy has the same thing that Faber does. He does the same and probably better, and he's younger. So that's what I'm saying. Faber's going to have the fight of his life to be able to win this.
And I hope he wins. I definitely hope he wins. Yeah. Looks like I got a friend calling me.
Yeah.
Let's ignore that.
I wanted to mention real fast.
You said you want to talk about the boxing, right?
Boxing. There was a fight this past weekend. British guy, Amir Khan, who's Pakistani, but he fights out of London, I think. Or not London, but I forget the name of the town. But he fights out of England, and he was supposed to be groomed to fight Mayweather. He has the same trainer as Pacquiao, Freddie Roach. And so there was supposed to be a fight that was going to be made, because if, you know, Mayweather probably easily would be Amir Khan, and then he'd be able to say that he beat a Freddie Roach guy.
Yeah.
They were grooming him up to fight him, and Amir Khan was talking a lot of crap. It was supposed to be a fight between him, a rematch between him and Peterson. Peterson was the guy who beat Khan.
Beat him, right?
He beat him. Peterson was a champion, but then he tested positive for a substance abuse or some kind of enhancer. And so the
enhancements.
Enhancement, yeah. So they put in this guy, Danny Garcia, who had just upset one of these other fighters, Eric Morales.
Morales, I like that dude.
Morales is old, but he was still supposed to be winning against Garcia, but Garcia beat him. So with that fight, he earned this fight. And Garcia's dad is actually talking shit to Amir Khan. And it seemed to gotten under Amir Khan's skin, because Khan fought Garcia's fight, and Garcia landed that one big punch. And
back of the ear, right?
Yeah, right behind the ear, on the neck. Amir Khan went down. He got up wobbly. If I was a ref, I would have stopped it there. It did not seem like he should be fighting at all. Dude, but
he looked pretty drunk there. Looked like a 21-year-old girl downtown.
If you guys want to watch it, do YouTube search Khan versus Garcia.
They should have stopped the fight. The dude even tap his gloves to the referee. He just like looked straight ahead.
Yeah. And he got saved because it was the last 10 seconds of the round. And the bell saved him. But the next round, I think he got knocked down twice within the first minute of the next round, and then they stopped it. So yeah, that planned fight of Khan versus Mayweather is not going to happen. And so now Garcia, man, he's the legit champion at the lightweight division.
Oh yeah.
And so he has a bright future ahead of him, looks like.
Definitely. Oh yeah. So we're gonna go to a quick non-commercial break. I'm going to grab some water or beer, whatever I find in the fridge.
Eventually, we might work in some sponsors to kind of help keep this thing going. You know, we have to pay out of pocket to keep this on the internet. Yeah. So
I like how we play our music through an iPhone.
Yeah.
Very, very smooth. All right, guys, we'll be right back. This is Garage Sports San Diego. Kick it! That's my ringtone.
All right, we're back. Took a quick break. Gonna get into some national sports news.
Dude, there was a fight outside.
Yeah,
UFC
I guess.
UFC cat fight.
Yeah, there was a loud noise. All of a sudden, I hear cats going. Whee, 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 whee. And it's funny because for some reason it happened to be a black versus a white cat.
We had a racist fight outside.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was funny. The black cat was chasing the white one.
The white one. That's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty loud, and it's probably the same cats I heard on Friday night when I was in here.
Yeah. But, I wonder if they're even from the same house, or if they're just like neighbor cats that somehow just like have this competition. And
dude, we should start making some cat bets. Then PETA will be up my ass, our asses on the show. We're getting back to sports now, and... Think we want to do a little college football report from the Sandusky.
Yeah, the free report came out.
Yeah, the free one.
And it pretty much implied that Paterno knew all along from like 99, I think, right? Or maybe even before then. And he did not do anything really to stop it.
That was
that pretty much ruins everything that Paterno built at Penn State. Like his whole image of being the squeaky clean guy that put school first, that he would graduate his student athletes, and that pretty much killed all of that because he was letting this guy. I guess he considered him a friend, but even at that, if you see someone kind of raping and abusing kids, I mean,
you got to step in, dude. That's where you got to draw the line at, and it sucks because. I was listening to the free report actually on ESPN. They did it live, and actually hearing the report that Paterno knew about it, it really like hit me because prior to that, I was kind of for Paterno, but then at the same time, I was on that midway point. And after hearing the report that he knew and he did nothing to step in, that's when it kind of hit me. And all those years that he stayed at Penn State and he built his tradition, like you're saying, with school first and football second. To me, he was more like a Vince Lombardi of college football. That's who he would have become if it weren't for this report coming out. And it's sad to see. And now that they even want to take out the statue, or they're thinking about it?
Yeah, now that's the debate now. Should they remove it? Or some people are saying they should just move it from the stadium and put it somewhere else. But at this point, you just have to remove it. I mean, you may be able to donate it to like a museum, but I mean, that's still kind of creepy.
It is creepy now.
They just need to, I don't know, get rid of it or put it somewhere where it's not in the spotlight. It's not going to disturb anyone because, the Paterno family, they actually want to review the free report first because they want to just make sure that everything that's in that report is you know, factual. And so they want someone to review it before they completely tarnish Paterno's image. They want to review that report, make sure that everything's legit. And if it is, I mean, the family might even say, okay, let's remove it.
Dude, look at the statue though. And it's ironic that his finger's pointed up, and I'm not implying anything here, but it doesn't look right anymore.
Oh, wow.
It went from being number one to where's that finger going now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could donate it, though.
I would not trash it at all, but it's got to go somewhere where I think a college football sports museum would be a good place for it. I mean, regardless of what happened, because he did have a football career that will always be remembered for football coach. But in the end, this is going to tarnish what he did all those years.
Yeah. I guess the museum, but that still seems creepy. Just to have it displayed, just When people know what happened, that doesn't seem right. But maybe a museum might not be so bad.
I agree, though. You gotta definitely take it out of the school because that statue is what they are right now.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only thing I can compare this to is how, you know, Germany trying to get rid of their Nazi image, you know. Now, you know, Penn State's trying to get rid of their paternal Sandusky image. And so, yeah, it's going to be tough to do that. It's pretty much engraved in their history now.
Damn, man. It's sad, dude. I used to actually like this guy.
Yeah.
But over to the NBA now. What was this, Jason Kidd?
Went out for a good
night at the bar, huh?
That was actually pretty funny. I mean, not the DUI part of it, but the fact that just a few days earlier, he was talking about how he was going to mentor Jeremy Lin and how he's going to, you know,
use his
experience to, you know, to help him out. And then he goes out and does this. But yeah. Yeah. And then Lin, of course, he still might not even be a Knick. So, you know, some New York, man, they're just filled with controversy, especially the Knicks. They always have to have drama.
Well, dude, the Knicks, they wanted to give him a new contract, but Houston Rockets want to offer him a 3-year deal, $25 million. And
yeah,
it's like what we discussed earlier. Like, all right, he's a good player. He had a great couple games, but he didn't play a full year. He's not established yet for a couple years, and he just got injured.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense to give him a huge contract, even if you are the Knicks or the Lakers. To have that money, it doesn't make any sense.
It's definitely a big risk for the Rockets. You know, it's funny because they had Jeremy Lin before he went to the Knicks, and they cut him. And so now they're trying to get him back with all this money. And I've heard the reason why they want to get Lin. You know, the Rockets, they had Yao Ming, they might get that same fan base back, you know, with Jeremy Lin. And, you know, Rockets, I don't know a whole lot about their financial situation, but they're probably thinking they can market this guy and make money if nothing else. And so they figure this contract will pay for itself. That's the only thing I can think of why they're offering so much.
Dude, I saw a couple games. I like this dude. Like, he was definitely underrated. A lot of people were talking shit about him because he was playing against shitty teams at the time he was winning the games.
Yeah.
But still, regardless, you can still play, you know, good or shitty against shitty teams, but he played great.
Yeah, he's still a rookie, so he has room. I mean, he can improve. He has a lot of room for improvement because he was playing wild. He was hitting clutch shots. But he was he had a lot of turnovers too, so he has to clean that up. And if he could keep his clutch, you know, shot kind of deal going on, he has a nice future. But you know, he has to stay injury free, and he has to be able to play and be consistent.
So I compare him to our buddy Jimmer Fredette. Remember that guy?
Oh, Jimmer
from Fredette. BYU, the shooting sensation, the Mormon sensation. This guy was supposed to be the shit when he went to the NBA. God, this guy can't even hold on to the damn ball, let alone shoot a three. God, no one's even heard of this guy anymore. Where is he?
Yeah,
he's still in the Timberwolves, right?
Out. Yeah, I mean, college ball is obviously different from the NBA. You have to be way more athletic in the NBA. College, you can get away with being not the greatest athlete, but I mean, they figured because he was a good shooter that he'd be able to at least be a 3-point specialist, but he's just kind of disappeared from the
garbage, league. Yeah. Dude. I was watching him at the Tilted Kill one night. It was just, it was a laugh fest over there. I was just laughing at him.
Oh, I remember even in college, he wasn't really a defender either. And so in the NBA, he's just getting ran over by this NBA players. So, you know, what's the point of being a 3-point shooter if you can't even play any defense at all? So yeah, but Jeremy Lin is definitely better than Fredette. He's shown that, and you know, if he can be healthy, he should be pretty good.
Makes me wonder if Jason Kidd was drinking a couple of sake bombs with Jeremy Lin at a sushi bar.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. You know, Jeremy Lin had, when he was going through all this, and they were saying Linsanity, and then your favorite was
Super Nintendo.
Yeah, we had all these racist puns, which I thought were funny.
They were.
And a lot of people did, but then I guess there's an Asian community organization that came out and put out like a set of rules of what you can do and can't do with the Jeremy Lin's name. And it kind of ruined the fun for everyone, but
Didn't Saturday Night Live do a skit on?
Oh, yeah. Saturday Night Live. They did a skit where they had the ESPN or the TNT crew that would do the NBA broadcasting.
Yeah.
And so they would do all these puns for Jeremy Lin, like Nintendo, Linsanity, into Linfinity and beyond. And, you know, all the broadcasters that were there, they were all black. They were all laughing it up. But then they would do a pun on the on black players, and they'd be like, oh, whoa. We're trying to be racist here? Trying to be racist? This is a racist show? And then they do a Lin joke, and they think it's the funniest thing ever. So that Saturday Night Live, they're pretty good.
That was dead on. Yeah. That's true. Cool. I don't hear that. And Allen Iverson comes to mind when he gets mad.
Yeah, Allen Iverson. Practice.
Practice. Speaking of practice, Kobe Bryant and the USA team getting a couple exhibition games going underway for the upcoming Olympics.
Yeah.
And what was Kobe's quote? That their team, 2012
Olympic
team, is better than the dream team? Really?
Yeah. I forget if it was someone that asked him the question and then he answered it, or if he just like volunteered information himself. But he mentioned that
I wouldn't be surprised.
He would give his 2012 team a chance against the 92 Dream Team. And not only a chance, but that they would win.
And so, sure, Kobe.
I can see how, as a competitor, he has to say that
mind of his.
But there's no way. Like, 92 Dream Team, there's a reason why they're called the Dream Team.
Charles Barkley, Jordan. Pippen.
Yeah, Pippen, Bird,
Stockton,
Patrick Ewing, David Robinson when he was young.
God damn.
Clyde Drexler, Chris Mullins. They was the dream team. And Barkley had a comeback saying
that Barkley was the leading scorer that
team. Yeah, he was the leading scorer. And
Charles.
He had a quote saying that not a lot of players from this team would even make the 92 Dream Team. Like, he would only give Kobe...
Durant.
I think he mentioned Durant and LeBron James a chance to making that team.
I completely agree, actually.
Too. Yeah, and that was dead on. And so I can see why Kobe said that, because he's a competitor. He's never going to give in and say that another team is better than his team. But, 92 Dream Team.
Yeah,
they were the team.
It's funny that everybody has an opinion on this, and pretty much everyone's going checkpoint to the Dream Team.
Yeah.
Should you even have Obama over here?
Oh,
President Barack Obama agreed and said the Dream Team would definitely annihilate the old 12 team.
Yeah. Then my comment went, I bet you Romney, just to be the contrarian, would say, no, 2012 team. But I would think that at least this is something they could agree on. So I'm going to be looking forward to Romney saying, I actually do agree on something with Obama. 92 Dream Team is better.
He probably thinks that basketball is filled with bills and money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the NFL now, we got a couple contract signings, right, going on?
Yeah, there was a deadline today. There were some players that were franchised. The big ones were Ray Rice. With Baltimore. He got a big deal, $40 million for 5 years, and he's got $30 million guaranteed from that.
He deserves that contract because he's pretty much that focal point of the offense, because Joe Flacco hasn't really carried his weight these past few years. I don't think he's ever going to lead him to a Super Bowl. They definitely need a different quarterback. And Ray Rice has been putting production out from running and receiving. And he's strong. He's been durable. He has a couple minor injuries, but nothing too serious. I think he definitely can fulfill the require or fill out his contract of 5 years.
Yeah. You know, my thing with that is there's always that thing, all right, are you paying him for what he's done already, or are you paying him for what he can do for the following years? Because I think he maybe has 2 years of prime, you know, football, running back football left. And then probably after that, he's going to start with his wear and tear, and you're going to be paying him a lot of money. So it looks like most of it is for what he's already done, and then maybe the next 2 years. Because, you know, running backs, they don't have a large, life in the NFL. They get beat up a lot.
Especially nowadays.
And Rice, he's one of those, not only does he rush a lot, but he catches a lot of passes out of the backfield. I mean, he's averaged 72 catches per year for the past 4 years. And that's aside from running. So he touches the ball a lot. And those are a lot of hits.
And then up next, we got Matt Forte.
Yeah, Forte. He got 4 years for $32 million. At $18 million guaranteed, which I think...
I don't agree.
I think it's a solid deal.
Really?
Because it's not as expensive as the Ray Rice deal. So you have him, I wouldn't say affordable, but you have him at a decent deal. You're not breaking the bank. And Forte, he's not as great as Ray Rice, but he's a solid back as well.
I get a worry too, because even though he didn't really have a serious injury last year, he definitely is kind of injury prone.
He did have, last year he missed maybe a couple games, but other than that, he's been durable. They say once you start getting injured, they start to pile up more. But the deal will be great if he stays healthy. But like you said, he has to stay healthy. He can't get injured. He has to get rid of that injury prone label. My opinion, it's a solid deal. It's a solid deal for both sides. Forte gets his money. Chicago doesn't break the bank. And so, in my opinion, I think that's a solid deal.
And then anyone else that we got signed?
I had written down the deals that Adrian Peterson got and then Chris Johnson got, just to compare with their deals. Adrian Peterson got a 7-year, $100 million, $30 million guaranteed from that.
Oh, yeah, it's AP. Even though he's pulled over.
Yeah, he's the best back. Yeah, and then Chris Johnson got 4 years, $53.5 million, $30 million guaranteed.
And Whoa, 53?
$53.5 million for 4 years.
I mean, he's good, but wow, last year.
He had pretty much disappeared, especially for fantasy football. We're greatly disappointed with his with his play.
Yeah, you could tell I was definitely a holder of the Chris Johnson stock. He was supposed to be my number one running back, supposed to be.
Yeah.
Not to be.
He had that slot slash backup. Because he has that kind of breakaway speed that you love in a back, but with that breakaway speed, I mean, you have larger impacts. You're more prone to injury. I don't know, this year, I don't know if they figured him out somehow or if that money kind of went to his head or what happened. But in this past year, he wasn't as great. He did better towards the end, but definitely started the season ugly.
You could definitely say this is probably going to be a do-or-die season if either he's going to come out strong or pretty much last year is that's what he's going to become.
Yeah. And that's why,
I want to steal him in the third round in my fantasy draft.
Yeah. You know, now that we're into fantasy, it seems like the fantasy teams are going more towards wide receivers because they're changing the rules to where it's a lot more passing, less running. And so
there's less contact with all those new pass interference rules.
Yeah. And you have to have premium receivers now. So it's looking like the running backs are starting to not go in the first round as often, and it's looking more like quarterbacks and receivers in the first round.
I think the only quarterback that would go in the first round would probably be Aaron Rodgers, regardless, because that dude, yeah.
I would still put Breeze up there. Breeze had a big season.
I would still go number two, Breeze.
Yeah, Breeze and Rodgers, yeah.
But what about Big Gronkowski, the Gronk?
Gronkowski?
Yeah. That guy... You know what, though? He is the top tight end right now, regardless.
Nah. I mean, I guess he had a big, in terms of fantasy football points, he had a big year. But,
give a little fantasy football competition ready right now.
I don't know. For some reason, I don't want to put him up there, number one, yet.
If he's not number one, would you say he's a second round draft pick?
Yeah, he's definitely, well, I guess...
Because tight ends nowadays are becoming receivers, basically.
I still think he's a first-round pick. I'm just saying I don't know if he's number one overall as a tight end.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking fantasy football here.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I was going to throw in Antonio Gates. A lot of it's because I'm biased with the Chargers, but I still think Gates is, especially now that he's getting past his injury of the plantar fasciitis, he's and I've been reading the reports. North Turner's, he's always going to say good things about his players, but he's been saying how Antonio Gates is way different now.
That injury is going to stay with him until his career ends, though. That's the bad part.
Yeah. But he's, according to reports, he's supposed to be overcoming it and taking care of it a lot better.
Well, we did stock up, beyond fantasy football and the Chargers, we stocked up on a lot of tight ends this offseason. Yeah. We re-signed Randy McMichael to a one-year deal. We actually picked up Dante Rosario, the Carolina tight end.
Yeah.
And we also drafted a tight end from Louisiana, was it Lafayette?
Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette.
He's a tall dude. I think he's like 6'8".
Yeah.
6'9". He's a lanky dude.
Yeah. Something Green. I forget his. The Darius Green.
And then we also have a basketball player that played in college that...
Oh, yeah?
He's also in the competition. He's 20, 21.
Oh, young guy. I don't know about this guy. But yeah, the Chargers, what it seems like they're going to go to a set similar by the Patriots. Where they do a lot of two tight end sets, and they stocked up their tight ends. Chargers, if they get an injury, they're going to just plug him right in, and they shouldn't have a big drop-off.
That's one of our needs I noticed last year after Gates was having trouble. Our tight ends, I mean, Randy McMichael was good, but we needed a backup for him.
Yeah, last year we had Kerry Sperry or something Sperry.
Yeah, and he was a good blocker.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a passing influence at all. Nah. That's why we stocked up on our defense stocked up on the receivers and just put one man on the tight end.
The only thing Sperry had was the element of surprise because no one thought that he would
catch
the
ball.
Yeah, and that's the only thing he had going for him. But yeah.
It's like throw a pass to him, you hear the circus music. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're thinking of doing a bigger show on fantasy football. This is just like a taste of it.
Yeah, I've definitely been reading a lot of magazines. I have my own opinions. Obviously, you know, we almost had a little discussion right now about tight ends. I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting. There's a lot of rankings I have seen that I don't agree with, but they're kind of close to what I think that's going to go down this year in the fantasy. Definitely notice that, there's going to be receivers in the first round. Like Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
He's going to be drafted in the first
Megatron.
Round. But I think we should do a segment probably maybe next week or the following week.
Yeah.
Do like a half a show, just straight out fantasy football.
Yeah, it looks like
that. In fact, if we should do it at the beginning because this is going to be like a serious topic. We even go by position.
We might even do one full show of just fantasy football.
Maybe we can do one after a normal show.
Yeah, I don't know. We might.
We do a special.
We'll work something out. Maybe sometime at the end of this week, and then we'll do our normal show. But yeah, that fantasy football probably deserves its own show. There's a lot to talk about, and we could do like a mock draft or something. Of who we think should go in the first round, at least.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot to talk about. And I know all you guys that play fantasy football, you would love to hear some of our advice. We've been reading up on Sporting News, pretty much all the mock drafts you can think of. And it's going to be an interesting season. And besides that, I want to say this weekend, you guys want to check out a fight. Obviously, check out the UFC 149.
Yeah, that's going to be really good. Even if favored, like one of our favorite fighters, if he loses, he always comes to fight and he always puts on a good show. So, and there's a lot of bars out there that show the fights now, so you don't have to pony up a big amount of money to watch it. So at least go to a bar, check out the fight. Faber against Baroa. Check out the NBA, not the Olympics,
exhibition
the
games,
basketball
yeah,
Olympic
definitely.
Games. That should be pretty fun.
It's still fun to watch. I mean, they're not the Dream Team caliber style that everyone was saying.
Yeah, because they're
still... definitely fun to watch. I watched the Brazil one matchup actually recently. It was a dominating matchup.
Yeah, they're the favorites, but you know it's not going to be easy. They still have to earn that gold medal.
Yeah, I still remember that one year we didn't even get.
Yeah,
that pretty much changed our mentality as U.S. people right there. Our basketball wasn't up to par.
Yeah,
but guys, thanks for listening again. This is Paul
and Fernando.
This is Garage Sports Radio, and thanks for listening, guys, and I hope you guys stay tuned for our next podcast. Garage Sports. San Diego. San Diego.